Nothing's impossible with our God. And he's already said, is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is no, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Well, I'm Reverend Tony Jones, and it's an honor to be here again. I'm here every week, and it's been ever since the church started here with Pastor Tim. And it's just been a joy traveling back and forth from Jamestown to be in these services and to watch this church congregation grow. I mean, it's awesome. And I want to say, just on behalf of Pastor Tim, thank you all for your faithfulness to come and be here in these church services. It's helping this community in ways that you don't even know. But our presence here is sustaining. The presence of the Lord is just sustaining this area because we're here. Because the church of God is here in this service. And I just want to thank Pastor Tim for this opportunity to just minister tonight. I want to say about Pastor Tim, I met him 14 years ago this past January, and 4 months later, 5 months later, I was a part of his staff. At the time, my wife and I were living in Ohio, and we left Ohio and came here to be with Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, to help fulfill the plan of God. I just love the plan of God because it's a journey. It's just a journey. And if you stay with the journey, you're going to come to an outcome that is so amazing and so awesome. We start here, but then we always just keep going up from glory to glory. And Pastor Tim has been a wonderful pastor. First off, at this season in my life, I thank the Lord. I said, Father, we've had great pastors. My wife and I were born into the same church. We're from Rochester, New York, originally. And we were both basically born in the church, you know, which is awesome. I'm so happy that I had the life of being a part of the church all up until now. My life's not over, so I'm not going to say all my life. It's just up until this point in the church. Serving the Lord, this is our life, and we've loved it. And he took us from Rochester. We've left Rochester over 25 years ago. We moved to Florida, from Florida to Ohio, never thinking we would ever come back to New York State. But that's why you say never say never. We didn't say never, but it was like, really? Where's the Southern Tier? You're like we had heard the Southern Tier, but it was like just a passing thought, but Lord brought us to Jamestown, and it's been a joy and a pleasure, and now to Erie, Pennsylvania. And so thank the Lord. Pastor Tim has been a wonderful pastor and a wonderful employer to me. Just in case you wonder, how is he, what kind of a boss? It's amazing. He's just amazing. What you see is just an amazing man, and his wife, Pastor Katie, and I'm grateful for them. And I want to thank my wife, Reverend Vanessa, for being here with me tonight. We are less than a month from our 47th wedding anniversary. So she gave me 3 beautiful children, a daughter and 2 sons. And we have 10 grandchildren. Just a little bit about our lives. And they all live far from us. So we go to where they are for the most part to try to see them and see those 10 grandchildren, and it's just been a wonderful joy to be here. Pastor Tim, over the last few weeks and months, actually the last couple months, he's been ministering on overcoming spiritual pressure and standing strong and winning, which is what we ought to be doing every day. And I want to kind of continue along that same line. Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14. I want to read this because it's a scripture that he held on to. It's kind of been one of the main scriptures. Again, Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. And I'll give a second. There we go. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That word withstand really means to resist and remain undamaged, unaffected. Isn't that a great life to live? undamaged, unaffected, because in the world that we live in, there's so many people damaged and affected by all their circumstances. But this says withstand, and so I'm looking forward to just continuing to live undamaged, unaffected by things going on around us, and just continuing to stand. And tonight, I want to continue along the same lines of standing, but in the form of prayer. And so I want to talk about four daily prayers that you can pray that will help you to stand and not faint. And so perhaps you maybe struggle with daily prayers, or, you know, getting up in the morning and just having an opportunity to pray, whatever. This, I'm hoping, will be an outline for you, maybe, these four prayers, an outline that you could use to help you get going, will establish kind of a little pattern in your life. One thing I'll say is a lot of people have created rules in their mind about prayer, and Pastor Tim has been dispelling that over probably the years. Probably years ago, I was in the ritual of, I've got to pray this much time. Oh, if I don't pray, I'm not really spiritual anymore. I'm not saved. You know, all those things that the enemy brings to you just to make you not pray. And I would say this, don't relegate or just make your prayer time a specific time of the day. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Now that means, because you can't walk around all day long, pray, but it just means carry an attitude of prayer in your heart throughout the day. Continually checking in with the Lord, continually keeping an ear turned towards Him all throughout the day. And just mumbling under your breath, you know, not where anybody could really see you, so they think you, you know, off or anything. But just, you know, be normal, but it's carrying the attitude of just staying connected to the Lord, staying talking to Him, keeping your mind on Him. And the scripture, which is really kind of my key scripture for this whole message, and actually the name of the message, let me give that to you. Daily prayers that will help you to stand and not faint. Daily prayers that will help you to stand and not faint. Luke 18, verse 1 in the King James Version. And then I'm going to go to the Amplified Version with that same verse. And it says, I'll go ahead and start. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Amplified Version says this, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. And so you could say it like this, to faint is the result of not praying. I mean, people faint every day. I mean, meaning not literally fall out, but their countenance, their attitude, because of life circumstances, they're fainting. And the answer to not fainting is just talking to your Father. And really, prayer is really just talking to God. Can you say that? Prayer is talking to, just having a conversation with the Lord. We don't have to make it more difficult or more technical than that. You don't have to be on your knees. I remember when I was a teenager, my wife too, actually, when we were growing up, I think it was, it's Matthew, the 6th chapter. It says, go into your closet and close the door. And we literally did that. I literally did that as a teenager. I was going in the closet, closing the door. And the scripture is really not telling you to go in the closet and close the door. It's a imagery of do what you're doing private. You don't have to be out in the street like the, as that scripture goes on to say, like the publicans making known their prayers. But I remember her sisters used to kind of, or brothers too, used to kind of make fun of her because she was always in the closet praying as a teenager. And those prayers were worth it. We got each other, so. Amen. And so it just referring to keeping a heart of prayer and not just not giving up. So so I want to say this at the beginning of your day, just honor God. When you're going to the restroom in the middle of the night, if you can begin to, even in those seconds, wake up enough to realize that you're in the presence of the Lord, because he's always in us, always with you. And just simply say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is what, so what I'm telling you is what I do. It's not, and I've had to practice making myself wake up enough to go, praise the Lord. I just want to acknowledge him, because it says in everything we do, give thanks, whatever that is you're doing. So to give thanks. And so in the middle of the night, when you're getting up and you think it's nothing, you're just getting up and get a glass of water or whatever, praise the Lord. And you don't have to get any more clever than praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is filled. That statement is filled in the Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it was good enough for God, then it's good enough for us. You don't have to get really creative with, oh, how great thou art. You can, but at 2 a.m, it's like, okay, praise the Lord's good for me right now. So this is just to kind of loosen you up, that you don't have to try to find creative words. Just be what's in your heart. But try to wake yourself up enough to acknowledge the Lord as you're, whatever it is you're doing. And the Bible says in James 4:8, you don't have to pull that up, but it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so he's already not gone anywhere. It's us that we're far from him. And so, all, you know, as you praise the Lord and say that as you go about your day, whatever, you're just drawing nigh. You're just drawing close to him. And that's the goal, is just to keep a communication with the Lord. With respect to prayer and why it's so important and why it's why you want to do it, God hears me. Everybody say that. God hears me. Say it together. God hears me. So 1 John 5:14 and verse 15 in the King James Version. 1 John 5:14 and 15. I love this scripture because it lets me know that when I pray, it's not in vain. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ, that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So you could say it like this. He hears, I have. His hearing is my knowing that I have my request. Y'all get that? He hears me, and he's already said, if I hear you, then you have your request. It's a matter of us laying hold on it by faith. Just like we receive salvation by faith, you don't always see your answer right away. But just like we don't see the Lord, we don't see Jesus, we don't see God, but we believe in our heart that he's in us, he exists, he's for us. And so that's the same faith. He said it, he hears me, I believe it. And so when you're praying, you're not praying to a lifeless idol, but to the God of the universe, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he hears you. To me, that's just the most important thing. I know that he hears little old me. You know, he hears you, and his hearing means you have it. And so that, so when you go to him, you can always go confidently knowing that he hears you and he heard your request, and you just lay hold on it. I'm going to go to a scripture. I guess I'm Pastor Tim's son, because I'm going to scripture, not on my sheet at all. It's Mark, St. Mark, the 11th chapter. St. Mark 11, that's the faith chapter, right? Yes, 11, verse 24. St. Mark 11, 24. And I love this scripture too, because it's right along the same. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. So prayer starts with a desire. Your desire. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, at the time that you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive what you're asking for at the time that you pray, and you shall have them. That's God's part. That you shall have them, which could take time. It could take him working through some person, which takes time to get through people's heads, that God's saying, do something, do this for that person. So our part is desire. Everybody say desire. When you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, also we could say when we say, because our confession, when we say things to the Lord, believe that you receive, that's our three parts, desire, pray to the Lord, believe at that moment you receive your desire, and God's part is, and you shall have them. We just believe right then we got it, and then we go into the prayer of praise and worship, which is just, thank you, Lord, I believe I receive. Thank you, Lord, it's mine right now. Whatever that desire is, whatever that request is, believe that you receive. And you don't have to go back and start praying that all over again. You can if you really, that's in your heart. But you, every time that thing comes back, that request comes back to you, you're just walking around the house going, or wherever you are, praise the Lord. I believe I received that. Thank you, Lord. It's already mine. That's faith. The same faith that it took to save us. A God that we don't see, but we believe. Your prayer request works the same way. Praise the Lord. So he hears me, so I know I have it. I want to just give you the four prayers. Just tell you the four so that you, if you're taking notes, you can write it down. And then I'm going to start with the prayer number one and just have a few thoughts behind how you can pray that on a daily basis. So what I'm saying, what I do is walk around with these four, I actually have five, but these prayers, I have a sheet, and I don't even need the sheet because I've memorized it. I've been doing it for so long. But sometimes I'll pick it up just to, because I wrote other stuff on it and good notes and all. And I'm going through this list and I'm just praying it. It could take you 5 minutes. It could take 10 minutes. It's not a time-driven thing. You know, take the lid off of the rules that you have in your mind about prayer and how long it should be. You know, some people are given to that and they can pray longer. They've got more time or what have you. The main thing is having fellowship, getting to talk to God. Getting to keep that relationship going with him, and then praying, because he tells us men are always to pray. If you pray, you won't faint. Amen. Come on, y'all. You won't. Amen. Okay. Here's the first of the four prayers. Number one, start every day giving thanks to the Lord. Start every day giving thanks to the Lord. Prayer number two, pray focusing on others first. Pray focusing on others first. Number three, pray for Pastor Tim and your church family. Number three, pray for Pastor Tim and your church family. Number four, last but not least, pray for your family and for yourself. Pray for your family and for yourself. And that one's last because what we tend to do as humans is when we start praying, it's all about us. It's all about our family. It's all about our stuff. It's kind of human nature that you just immediately start, you know, with yourself. And, you know, and the Lord wants us to start growing up and be more other people mind it. You remember last week or a couple weeks ago, so Pastor Tim was saying how so many Christians are so caught up in their own life, they, you know, on their own issues, their own circumstances, situations, that they have nothing to offer anybody else because it's always about them. And we're talking Christians. And, you know, you can say that person is a babe in Christ. They probably aren't a babe in Christ, meaning, you know, newly saved, but they could have been around the church a long time, but still haven't grown up. And Jesus is soon to come. I know you all know it. We're every day, if you look in the world and you turn the TV on, you're like, Jesus is soon to come. I mean, it could be any time. You know, only God knows when that moment is, but Jesus is soon to come. And he needs us to grow up, you know, and not be so us-focused, self-focused, but focus on other people. So that's why this one is last. And so I'll start with number one. Start every day giving thanks to the Lord. I heard a minister say that the Lord got onto him, and he said, you always come to me asking me for things. You never come to me and thank me for what I've done for you already. Always coming needy and not coming to me and with thanksgiving for what I've already done. And so I have a scripture. With each one of these points, I have a main scripture you could associate with it. I actually pray the scripture every day that behind this. And this one is Psalm 100, in particular, verse 4, and I think it's 4 and 5, the rest of that chapter. But I'm going to read the whole chapter because maybe you know this one by heart, and every Christian, well, I'm not saying should, but we all ought to know the 100th Psalm by heart, just like the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is, we all know that by heart, right? Okay, anyway, Psalm 100 is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You can come to the Lord just with that, Father. Serve the Lord with gladness. When we come into the church, we really should come in with gladness, ready to cast and lay everything else down, because we're coming into the presence of our God who's completed us. Everything that we ever need is already done. Come into his presence with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. You could take any one of these verses and just make it your praise and thank him. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so in particular, I start with Lord, I'm thanking you. I go right to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. We all must believe that God is good. Yes, there's a lot going on in the world. Satan's the god of this world at this moment. I mean, he's got authority here, but our God is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So I go, when I get going, you know, with this number one, I just start right there. Father, I thank you that you're so good. I enter your presence. You know, gates is just coming into the, it's actually imagery of the temple. You know, in Jerusalem, you know, when David had and all that. That's what this imagery is, but you could make it more. When I enter your presence, you're in your home, you're saved, your household is, that's the presence of the Lord right there. So I enter your presence with thanksgiving, come into your courts with praise. Come further into his presence is the courts. We're coming, getting closer to that throne of throne, that, what is it, the mercy? Say it again. Holy of Holies. We just, it's imagery of us going further and further into his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I just start right there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And going on and thanking him for helping me, helping my life, helping my family. You know, I just kind of, it's not long. And just take that time and think, honor God first is my main point along with this. Just honor him first before you start with everything else going on in your life. And one thing that I do that may be helpful to you is most of us have a cell phone, and almost the first thing that happens in the morning is what? You all pick up that phone. Yep. We all pick it up. It's nothing wrong with it. It's part of our lives. But I pick my phone up and have now, I went on my Bible app to search this out. For 8.5 years straight now, I've gone every single day, haven't missed a day, 443 weeks. I open it. When I open my phone, I go directly to my Bible app. This is my way of helping the Lord say, I'm putting you first. I'm putting you first. I don't go to the email. I don't go to the news article. I just go directly to the Bible app. You know, everything else is there. All the other distractions are there to make you go. But I purposely just go right to the Bible app because, you know, the phone is all encompassing. It'll just, you'll be there for the next half hour and don't even realize where the time went, you know. And so I go there and I read the scripture. I read it out loud. And often I'll go right on to that chapter and just read the chapter. You don't have to do that. You can do that. But I definitely take that verse and I try and make it a confession. I just practice whatever it is. Say it was for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Say that was 100. And I say, Father, I thank you. You are good. Your mercy is ever enduring forever. Just make it a quick confession because faith comes by hearing and faith is released through our mouths. Your faith is not active if you're not speaking what you hear. As soon as you open your mouth and you begin to speak it, your faith is activated. It's growing. It's like, yes, yes, yes. So faith comes by, and that's in Romans. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, and it's released by us speaking. That's how salvation comes to us. Believe in our heart. Confess with your mouth. The confession is big deal. We have to, you know, I encourage you all the more to confess the word, speak the word of God. Hearing yourself say it brings faith. So, and so that might be something to practice and add to your list. Open that phone, go right to your, if you don't have the Bible app, you really ought to, I mean, because it's just good. You know, it's just good. Okay, number two. Pray focusing on others. And so just turning ourselves away from selfishness. And the scripture that I have that really supports this is 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, and it says, I exhort, and this is Paul speaking, Apostle Paul, I exhort therefore that first of all, and we've heard Pastor Tim preach on this probably, first of all, but the first of all is like God's order of how I'd like you to come, you know. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Usually I stop right there, because I pray this prayer every day. I usually stop right there and say, Father, I ask you to bless all men, all women, everywhere, all nationalities, whatever island they're on, whatever country in, that they would hear the word of God, and that you send laborers. You're the Lord of the harvest, so send laborers to where those people are that they may hear the word and that they may be a doer of the word. And then I keep going. You don't have to do that, but I'm just telling you what I do. And it says that we, meaning we Christians, we the church, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this type of praying is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, whose will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so when you've prayed this prayer, you've prayed for all humanity. Isn't that great? Yes. You know, that's turning ourselves from selfishness and, you know, just my requests and what I need and what I want. It's turning ourselves into disciples, you know. Right in your home, you can affect things. God, remember, God hears you, and because he heard, he's answering this request. Don't think that your prayers is not doing anything. It is, because the Lord hears you, and you're somebody. He sent Jesus just for you. And so he hears you, And I love that verse because when we pray it, I've prayed for everybody. I've prayed for everybody. And and then it says, when you pray this prayer, we've prayed for everyone. We ought to be desirous. This is the one thing I want to say. We ought to want what God wants. And it says right here, his will is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. All men won't be saved because everybody's not has, you know, throughout time, hasn't accepted. Lots are rejecting. And you can see now, and just in the politics and so much rejection of Christ and the things of God. And so everyone's not going to be saved, but there are those that will be saved. And our prayers help them to get saved. You know, so this prayer is a great prayer. Pray focusing on others. And okay, I'm going to move on to number three. Pray for Pastor Tim and your church family. And I have Ephesians 6, verse 19 and 20 that I'd like to read for us. Pray for Pastor Tim and for your church family. You have to care enough for your own church people, your own church family, your own pastor to pray. And you might have grown up in a church where really we didn't really pray for the pastor. We didn't really think about praying for the people in the church. But we ought to, because there's so many scriptures that talk about, you know, do good, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. We are the household of faith. This is do good to those people, especially. And so Ephesians 6, 19, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, and pray for me, and we could say, pray for Pastor Tim, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. He speaks boldly already, right? Well, that's because somebody's praying for him that he's given to boldness. Part of Pastor Tim's mandate is to say maybe what another minister won't say, but it's because he's trying to help keep us safe and keep us knowing what the word is saying, what God is saying. I love that about him. He's so bold. But he can be, just imagine how much further he could go if we prayed for him. If you actually took time in your daily prayers and just reference or mention Pastor Tim, treat him like he's a family member. You know, you're going to pray for your family, or you ought to be praying for your own family. And add him in. Make him part of mama and daddy and auntie and son and daughter. Add Pastor Tim, and he's part of my daily prayers. He's our pastor, and so we ought to pray for him, and be believing God for him and Pastor Katie and their children. They have two sons. They've got teenage sons. They have the same stuff that every other parent has that they have to deal with and work through, and then get up here and tell us how to raise kids that they're teenagers that they're trying to figure out how to raise too. So I mean, you know, there's much that we could pray for. So. And treat, I'd say this as well, treat them with, Pastor Tim and Katie, with love, honor, and respect. Pray for them and do good for them. The Lord put something on your heart to do for them, do it. Do it. Just be a doer of the word. Okay, secondly, as part of pray for Pastor Tim and the church, pray for your church family, is this next part here. And I want to bring up Psalm 133. Really, I'm just going to be reading 133, the first half of it, A, and also verse 3. Psalm 133. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then verse 3, the first half of verse 3 says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. For there, meaning the place where unity resides, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So unity is good. And we all say that unity is good. It means harmony. And I love the church. We, like I said, we grew up in the church. So we're used to the church. We're used to church things. We're used to church lingo. We're used to coming in and seeing people and saying hello. We're used to all of that. And we love it. If this is your life, then give yourself to coming in and being a part of the church family. Don't come in late and leave early, but come in and be a part. Come in and be cordial. Be kind to each other. Go and say hi to somebody you never say hi to. Go across the bridge. You know, in the politics, they have these partisan people, Democrat, and they have to cross the aisle, as they say. You heard that terminology, to try to, like, they need to cross the aisle right now to fund the government. But in the church, we don't have those divisions. We're all one. And my encouragement is, be good to each other. The local church should be pleasant, just like this verse says. Pleasant means agreeable. You might not agree with everything. You don't walk into the church trying to go, oh, that needs to change, that needs to change, that needs to change. No, you need to change. You need to change. You don't come in. You know, I've been over or parts of worship teams and choirs for really most of my life. We were in the little kids choir together. You believe that? Yeah, I mean, yes, of course you believe that. We're believers. but people would come and be a part of my worship team as a singer or whatever, musician, and say, well, where I came from, we did it like this. And I said, you're not there anymore. This is how we do it. And, you know, that's it. This is the way we're going to do it. And don't tell me that again, okay? Let's just be agreeable and be in unity, you know. But we are in unity. I mean, that's what I see here, and I think it's lovely. Like that psalm said, come into his presence, be glad when we come in. We should all be glad. There should be a smile. There should be joy. We should look like Christians. We should look like Christians. We should look like Jesus. We should act like Jesus. And so you should love the local church. And the last thing I would say under this heading of pray for Pastor Tim and your church, and in particular, pray for unity in the church, I would say look around the congregation. You're like, well, okay, how do I pray for, you know, the church? Pray this prayer, 133, unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Pray that. So, Father, I thank you that our church is unified. We're all in agreement. It's a pleasant place to be. We love each other, and we ask you to increase that. You know, you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to try to come up with more words. He heard you, and he's going to answer that. But somebody needs to ask him. You know, that's what prayer is about. We have to ask him. I think it's Smith Wigglesworth that says that God can do nothing for humanity except someone pray and ask him. And that's why, you know, we need to pray. So I would tell you right now, look around this room. And seriously, look around right now. Look around this room. And I would say to you that during this week, the Lord will put someone in this congregation on your heart. And all you need to do is throughout the week, keep your ear attuned to him. Keep your heart listening throughout the day. That's how we stay close. Just keep an ear. You know, when the word heart, right in the middle of that H and T, is the word ear? You ever notice that? So heart is, you know, it's about love and all that stuff. And it's also about hearing. And, you know, you love your, I love my spouse. And so I don't just show love, but I listen to her. I hear her. And so it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. All throughout the day, just keep an inch, a part of yourself alert and aware that the Lord is there, and he'll speak to you. He'll say something and you'll be like, oh, such and so. Oh, I wonder why I'm thinking about them. And then you go on about your business. But the Lord will, I mean, that's a little indication. Pray for them, you know, and just whatever the Lord puts on your heart to pray, just pray for that person. You know, you don't have to know anything going on in their life. You don't have to come to church the next Saturday and go, I prayed for you, you know. Just let it be done in secret, you know. And of course, if you have a relationship with the person, you know what I'm saying, but you don't have to make it a big deal. You're just being obedient. Obedient to what the Lord is telling you to do. Do that. So I'm saying have a heart for the church family. Pray for Pastor Tim as well. And the last prayer is pray for your family and for yourself. Now we're finally at ourselves. You know, after you go through that little list, sometimes it's like, okay, it took a while to get there. But now it's pray for your family and for yourself. And Matthew 7:11 in the Amplified Version, if we could pull that up. Matthew 7:11. Matthew. Yeah, that's okay. It is an M, so yeah. Matthew 7, verse 11. And it says, I'll go ahead and get started. Matthew 7:11. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? And where it says, if you then, evil as you are, it's just talking about the nature that we were born with was a sinful nature, but we're no longer. And it's also comparison to our good is so much less than God's good. We're no longer evil. We're his kids. We're the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus. But it's just a way of comparing. But if we know how to give good things to our kids, our family, how much more will God give you the things that you desire and you ask of him? And God wants us to pray for our families. If you're not one that really spends any time praying for your spouse, if you don't have a spouse and you'd like to have a spouse, pray for your spouse. I remember before I married my wife, I was praying. We were Christians. We were serving God, but I was praying, and I just said, Father, I need a wife. I need a good woman. Way back then, I was praying that in the 70s, and because I wanted to be married. I needed to be married. And I said, Father, send my wife, the right woman, the right person in my life. She was already in my life, and I didn't quite know until time went on. And then I knew that was the one. And so I encourage young people or people who, whatever age you are, if you want a spouse, ask the Lord. That's how you're going to get it. Ask him. And he told the men, he said, so you got to be looking, guys. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And I love that part. I still say that. I don't care how long I've been married. I say, I found a wife and I obtained favor to take care of her. That's what I say. And I think I've been doing a pretty good job. All right. Got the thumbs up. And she's definitely good to me. So pray for that if that's your desire. But pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. They need your prayers. You know, we've got now probably 5 teenage grandchildren, at least 5, maybe 6, but who are teenagers. And you know what it was like for you as a teenager. And they're all Christians. Our grandchildren are all Christians. Our kids are in the church serving God. But you know what it's like. I remember what it was like for me, and the times are definitely worse now, being a teenager and trying to live safe. And so I pray for my grandchildren, and I pray for my children. And it says, and I pray for my wife. And so that's where I'll start here. Pray for your spouse. One of the prayers that I pray for my wife in particular is Ephesians 3:16. I'm just going to go ahead and read it, Ephesians 3:16. He says that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in their inner man. So when I'm praying daily, I say, Father, strengthen Vanessa with might by your spirit in her inner man. Her spirit is where God lives. And I say, strengthen her spirit so that she can go through things without difficulty, or, you know, it'll be easy. And so I pray that same thing for my kids. Actually, I'm sure you've all heard the Ephesians prayers. Ephesians 1, starting at about verse 16, all the way to the end. And then it's Ephesians 3, verse 14, really all the way to the end. You can take those prayers. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, he prayed those prayers, I think he said, hundreds of times, and he began to know who he was in Christ and what he had in Christ and what Christ did for him and what he could do in Christ. That's what those, they make you alive to who we are in Christ and the great abundance of complete salvation we have on the inside because of what Christ did for us. So you can pray those for you. Now, that takes a few minutes. So it doesn't have to be with this prayer session that you're doing. But remember, I said, don't relegate or make prayer just a particular time of the day. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. And I told you how to do that. Just always keeping a heart and attitude towards the Lord. And the first verse we read in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not faint. And so it's just keeping the attitude and the heart and the ear turned towards the Lord all day long. And he'll be speaking to you. And I pray for my kids, our grandchildren. And Psalm 112 is a great verse that I go to often. The first verse basically says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. That one verse sets the stage for the answers for the rest. You got to be a man, a woman that praises the Lord, that fears the Lord, has reverence for him, honor for him, respect for him. And you delight greatly in his commandments. You delight to serve him. You delight to love. You delight to live in peace. You delight to tithe. You delight to come and be glad when you come into the house. I mean, you're just delighting in all the things of God. So after all that, that person, his kids, the next verse, verse 2, his seed, her seed, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. But it's all contingent on that verse one. I, as the dad, you as a parent, what have you, need to first love the Lord, praise him, seek him, delight in his ways. And then you have the right to say, my seed is mighty on the earth. And they're doing great things for God. They're serving him. They hear his voice. They follow him. They obey him. Go ahead, add your own words, you know, scriptural, you know, just the scriptural words that come to you. Do that. And the verse goes on to say, wealth and riches are in their house. The generation of the upright is blessed. Da, 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 da. I just claim all that for myself at the same time while I'm praying for my kids, you know, because it's good for all of us. And so that's something that you could add when you're praying. And so, and if you know something specific about your child, your spouse, something that you said, you know, they've got this situation going on, go ahead, pray for that. Your prayers for your family is pleasing to the Lord. He's blessed when he sees family members praying for the other family, coming to him, soliciting him about a particular situation, knowing that he heard me. And if he heard me, that means what? I have it. Remember that? First John 5, he heard me and I have it. So that's why you're going to him, because he's a God we can count on. We can count on him to do the things that he said he would do. And so pray for that specific thing. And in all your prayers, end it with thanksgiving. Just like you started it with, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. Once you finish praying, just always close it out with, I believe I receive it now. Thank you, Father. It's mine. I give you honor and glory. You're the God of the universe. You know, just praise him. And that's how we seal what it is we're believing God for. That's what I had tonight. And I'm just going to summarize those four. prayers again, just to remind you, again, it's not a rule. You can do this. You can take parts of it. I don't really want to make a rule. I just, for the person that needs a, that would be helpful to have an outline to help you. That's what this really is. You take this and do what you will with it. But the biggest thing is the Lord wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to come to Him daily. He says, my sheep know my voice and hear my voice. A stranger's voice, we won't obey. But we know His voice. And He knows us. And He loves us. And He just wants us to come to Him. I think it's 1 Peter 5 that says, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for us. He cares affectionately for us. So come to Him in prayer. Talk to Him about your family. Have a conversation with Him. Stop and listen, and He'll speak back to you, especially as you're going about your way and going about your day. You'll hear things, and you'll go, okay, that had to be the Lord, because I would have never thought that. I thought that. Be a doer of the word, and maybe I think I'll end it there. We've heard a lot tonight, and I would encourage you, it's for nothing if you go and just like, oh, that was a good message, and you don't do anything with it. You know, but James, I think it's the first chapter, says, be doers of the word. It's the doers that are blessed. Say that. It's the doers that are blessed. It's not the ones that just hear and let it go in and out, but take something of this and do it. Every week that you come, take something from the word and do it, because it's the doers that are blessed. And just thank you for all listening tonight. And I just want to go ahead and just, let's just pray for a moment. Father, we bless and honor You, reverence You. Thank You so much, Father, for giving us Your word, because Your word is a lamp unto our feet. We know the way to go, and Your word is a light unto our paths. And we thank You, Father, that that in You we live, we move, we have our being. Our very life support is You. Our movement comes from You, Father. Everything that we do, Father, we know that You will empower that movement and give us Your ability as we move into whatever it is. And so we thank You, Lord, that tonight we say that we are doers of the word, not hearers only, but we are doers, and it's the doers that are blessed. And we thank You now, Father, with eyes, all eyes continue to be closed. If there's anyone in here who has not accepted the Lord and would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you lift your hands right now? Amen. We're all saved and Christians in here. And so I would just say this to us. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And those 4 points, you can open your eyes. Those 4 points again is start every day giving thanks to the Lord. Don't get up going, Father, oh, thanks. Just start off Thanksgiving. It's going to affect all of your day. It's going to affect your whole day. If you typically get a person that gets up with a little bit of depression, kind of trying to settle right in, you have to resist that. Okay, we hear Pastor Tim say all the time, thoughts come to him, and he said he's going along the way, and what does he say? I don't take that thought. I don't take that thought. Well, you know, when thoughts come, we don't take that thought, but we take what the word says. What do we take? The word. What is it? Nope. He says, be joyful. Rejoice evermore. And so you do that. Number two, pray focusing on others first. Let's not be selfish, but let's be selfless and focus on other people. Let's grow up in Christ and be a solution in the earth through our prayers. Pray for Pastor Tim and your own family. And last, number four, pray for your family and for yourself. And I hope you all were helped tonight and blessed. God bless you. We look forward to seeing everyone next weekend, Easter service weekend. It's going to be wonderful and great. And so bring somebody to the church. That'll be wonderful. We love you. Oh, well, let's do a dismissal. How about you all repeat after me? This is what is it? Psalm 19, I think verse 14. This is the way when I grew up, we grew up. The church, they would dismiss. The minister would go, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Amen. Have a good night, everyone. Praise the Lord.